your love, as we've affirmed our desire for intimacy and relationship with you and to build our lives upon you and upon your love, for you have loved us first. Father, teach us this morning to receive. Father, change us as we build our lives upon you and upon your love. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to open a Bible, if you have one, to the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, then John. Thank you, worship team, for leading us in worship this morning. Gospel of John, fourth book of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, to John chapter 1. We're going to be, for the next several weeks, looking at a series on learning to receive. Learning to receive, and specifically talking about this morning, grace. Grace to receive. As I was thinking about and preparing for this new series this week, I was looking back on some things that I have read, things I have recorded, and was struck by a story that I'd come across a number of years ago that really hit me, and hit me once again. And so I share it with you this morning as we begin this series on learning to receive. The story is of a pastor who had brought in a guest speaker to share about the love of God and about how to receive his love. And so that speaker shared several great teachings on a Saturday. They had gathered the church together for a morning all the way through an evening of various meetings, various messages from this guest speaker on receiving the love of God. So after each session, there was the opportunity for people to come forward and to be ministered to and to receive from God what he had for them. And after each session, after each message, the altar would be full of people. People would be coming and they would, some of them, they would be repenting. Some of them would be rebuking. Some of them would be weeping. Some of them would be seeking to stand on the truth that they had just heard, doing whatever they knew in the spiritual practices that were familiar to them. And yet, as the day continued, and part of the reason this pastor had brought this guest speaker, as it continued through this day, they found that nobody was really experiencing any significant change. So finally, the pastor, who was desperate to figure out why his people kept coming and coming and coming, but over these months and years that he had been with them, had not seen any significant change in their lives. He pulled this speaker aside and he asked, "Well, what am I doing wrong? What are we doing wrong?" The speaker told the pastor, he said, "You've done a wonderful job of teaching people how to do things with and for God. But what these people need is to learn how to receive from God apart from anything that they will ever be able to do." See, he had taught them how to do, but not how to receive. And that story, first time I heard it, hit me like a ton of bricks. And again, it hit me like a ton of bricks because I realized that in various ways, I'm like that pastor. I share often how to do in a relationship with God, first and foremost, rather than how to receive. Because I don't know about you, but that's my default. My default is towards doing, rather than on how do I sit in the presence, how do I receive from the Lord. You know, even as we were singing this morning, and singing that song in particular, "How He Loves Us," you know that some of those verses, some of those lyrics are a little strange if you think about it in a relationship with God, from the paradigm that we often think about it in paradigm with God. I don't know. Can we stick up that second verse on how He loves? Just look at the lyrics for a moment. It struck me. So, "We are his portion, he is our prize, drawn to redemption, by the graces in his eyes. If his grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. How often do you feel like you're sinking in his grace as an ocean? Next phrase is, so heaven meets earth like an unforeseen kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest. When was the last time in relationship with God that you just felt like you got encountered by an unforeseen kiss in your relationship with the Lord, and that your heart turned violently inside your chest? Next slide. I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way that he loves us. He loves us. So often our relationship with the Lord is so much about like doing that those just seem like almost heretical. If your relationship is about doing with the Lord, those are like heretical statements almost. Because that's all about receiving. And do we even know how to receive that? How to receive from the Lord in such a way that we could say our heart turns violently inside of our chest. It's his grace and his love encountering us is like an unforeseen kiss. And do we even give our permission to ourselves to be able to view the love of God and the presence of God that way? We will never receive if we don't even give ourselves permission to see the love and encounter the love of God in that way. And so we need to, in these next weeks, I really believe we need to come to a place for all of us, fresh encounter with an understanding of receiving. Because receiving is opposed to our doing. It's opposed to our earning. It's opposed to our deserving. It's opposed to our gaining God's approval. And receiving, as we want to walk through this morning, in this introductory message, is just an understanding of it's all about God's grace. Receiving isn't anything about I get to do something and God then does it. It's all about him first initiating. It's about his grace to us. That receiving is dependent on God first, not on me and not on you. It's his grace. And so this morning, I want to talk about that. I want to talk about learning to receive. So pray this morning as we come that we would learn to receive. Two main thoughts. John chapter 1, verses 10 through 11. He begins, John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. If there's anyone who knows how to receive the love of God, it's John, the disciple that Jesus loved. He writes, he was in the world, speaking of Jesus, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. So as we would seek to learn to receive and recognize that it's all about grace, learning to receive in this grace is praying for eyes to recognize Christ. Praying for eyes to recognize Christ. John writes that the Son of God, Jesus, who is the life and the light of the world, that he was sent, verse 10, into the world, though the world did not recognize him. And when we talk about the world, we're not talking about the physical trees and the mountains and the streams. We're talking about the people of the world. And so Jesus, the Creator, was sent into the world, and his very creation, the people of the world, did not recognize him for who he was. They did not recognize him as creator. And not only did the people of the world not recognize him as creator, as the Son of God, but verse 11 also says he came to that which was his own, and it's a reference to the Jewish people. Jesus was a Jew. And he came to the Jewish people. And it says, he came to that which was his own, the Jewish people. But his own, the Jewish people, did not recognize him and did not receive him. Now, many of his initial followers were Jews primarily. But as a whole, the Jewish people, the Jewish religious leaders, they did not receive him. They did not recognize him. Or if they did recognize him, they didn't want to recognize him as the Messiah, as the one who was sent from God. They did not recognize. They did not receive. And so, at the beginning of this idea is that we need to understand that in and of ourselves, we don't have what it takes in us, in our fallenness, in our sinfulness, to be able to receive and to recognize the grace and the love and the person of Jesus. This morning, if you're watching or you're here and you would say, I don't know that I am a follower of Jesus, that I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. It could be because maybe you have struggled to believe that he is the Son of God. Maybe you've struggled to believe that he is the Savior of the world. Maybe you've seen him as a good teacher, as a good moral example, but you struggle to see him as God. Here's why. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, it says this, "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." There is this reality that when a person is not a believer in Christ, when he came to his creation and they did not recognize him, it's because there is this problem of sin and there is the enemy, the devil, who wants to blind those who do not belong to Christ, who do not know him, from seeing Jesus as he truly is. And so the reason that in verse 10 he came to his own creation and his creation did not recognize him is because when we are born into this world, we are all born with spiritual blinders. We don't understand. We don't see the light of the glory of Christ. We don't understand Jesus for who he is. We don't recognize him. And so this morning, if you're saying, I'm not quite sure what I think of this Jesus, there might be some good things about him, but I don't know that he's the Savior of the world. I don't know that he's the Son of God. I don't know that the claims that he says of himself are really true. I would just encourage you to pray and to ask the Lord, to pray and ask the Lord that he would open your eyes, that he would give you eyes to recognize who Jesus really is. And he'll do this through his word. He'll do this through times of prayer if you will seek in response to him. Pray for eyes to recognize Christ. Now, if you are already a believer, if you would say, my eyes have been opened, I understand who Jesus is, I recognize him, I have received him, he's my Savior and he's my Lord. Remember this, remember that, and one of the truths, I think, of our lives is the farther we get away from the time where we first recognized Christ, the harder it is for us to remember what it was like when we could not recognize him as Savior and Lord. And so just to remember for all of us that there was a time, if you would say you are a believer in Christ, that this verse was true of you and that your eyes were blinded. And it was a work of God's grace. It was a work of God's initiation that he came to you by his Spirit and he opened your eyes. And so rejoice in that. But still, and the Apostle Paul speaks of this in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 through 19. Still, we need this work of God to continue. It's still grace for our eyes to recognize. Paul prays for the Ephesians in Ephesians 1, 17 through 19. He says, I keep asking, and he's writing to believers here, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Why? So that you may know him better. I pray that, what it says, the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. What's Paul saying here? He's saying that even if you have received eyes that have been opened and you've recognized Christ, that anything of learning to receive from him in deeper ways and know him in deeper ways, it's still all about grace. It's still about the eyes of your heart by the Spirit of God opening you more and more to the understanding of the riches that are in Christ Jesus and the glorious inheritance that he has for us and the incomparably great power for those who believe. It's still all about grace. It's still all about our eyes continually needing to be opened. And so whether your eyes have been opened or not, our prayer is that we would have eyes to recognize Christ, and recognizing that this isn't about anything I do. It's about learning to receive, Lord, open my eyes that I might see the glory of Christ and I might receive from you more and more. Second thought that John has, and that is in verses 12 to 13. It says, yet to all who receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Pray for those eyes to recognize Christ as by his grace. But then there are three things in verses 12 to 13 that we do in response as we receive, believe, and become his child. Receive, believe, and become his child. So in spite of those who did not recognize him, there are those who do recognize him. And for them, what has taken place is that they first have received. It's what verse 12 says. Yet to all who received him. To all who received him. The original hearers of John's day, as they were either listening or as they were reading this, the original hearers would have heard this not in an active sense of receiving, in the sense of initiating. Think of in the school cafeteria or before lunchtime, and you have the school bully who goes around and receives all the lunch money from the kids. How does he do it? He either physically takes it from him or he threatens them. Somehow he is receiving their lunch money, but he's receiving it because he's on the initiating end of threatening and using his size and using his intimidation to receive the lunch money from all of those poor kids that are getting bullied in that way. When John is saying to those who received him, he's not saying in the, I'm going to go out and I'm going to go get it, initiate receiving Christ. Instead, the original hearers, in the sense of the original language, would have been that they would have heard it in a passive sense regarding responding to another person initiating. So think of it in this way. You're at home. And you may have to think of this in a non-COVID world. But you're at home and you receive a knock on the door. And you check and it is one of your best friends. And they have come, you weren't expecting them, but they have come to your door to drop in and to visit you. You didn't initiate it. You didn't invite them over. They came, they knocked on your door because they wanted to see you. And you open the door and you receive them into your home and you have a time together. That is the sense of this to those who received him. It is not that you go and you come to Christ and you say, I'm going to go seek and I'm going to go find Jesus and I'm going to receive him because of my initiation. No, it is about God having sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, God initiating and God coming to us and God saying, I am here for you through Christ and I've made a way. And it is those who respond to the initiating work of God through Christ that receive him. Those are two totally different things. If it's about me going and initiating my relationship with Christ, well, it's about my doing. It's about my earning. It's about my deserving. It's about my work. But if it's he's done everything and he has come to me and I receive, it's all because he has done it. It's his grace. And what we have done then is the second word. The way we receive is to believe. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name. Belief is a response step. How do you receive? You believe in his name. In John chapter 6, it's Jesus' teaching on the bread of life, that I am the bread of life. And you eat my flesh and you drink my blood, and it's all that, like, whoa, this is weird conversation that Jesus is having. Drove, like, the huge crowd that he had, all said, this is too much for us to handle, and he was left with his original 12 after he had fed the 5,000. And they followed Jesus, and they said, give us some more bread. Give us some more food. We want to have something from you. What do we do? They ask him in John chapter 6. What do we do? What work do we do to receive eternal life? And Jesus' response in John chapter 6, verses 28 to 29 is, then they asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? This is in reference to eternal life. And Jesus answered, the work of God is this. Is it to follow all the rules? Is it to serve a lot? Is it to get God to be happy with you? Is that what he says? He says, no. The work of God is this, to believe. If you're, I got to do something for this kind of thing, this drives you bananas. Believe simply in the one who has sent. Believe in his person. If you go back to the first four verses of John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word is referring to Jesus. In the beginning was Jesus, and the Word Jesus was with God, and the Word Jesus was God. This is talking about the fact that Jesus has always been. He is the eternal second person of the Trinity. He is the Son of God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. We believe in his person. We believe that he is the eternal Son of God who has always been. We believe that he is the one through whom all things were created. We believe that he is the one that is all things are held together. And we believe that he is the one that all things were created for. We believe that he is the one who is the eternal Savior and Lord of all. That he is the one who is light in a dark world, and he is the one who brings life. That is his then work. We believe in who he is, his person. We believe in his work also. That on the cross, his complete work on the cross was to pay the penalty for our sin. And so everyone who receives him, who believes in his name, there is this amazing work that we are able to receive and become the last part, his child. And to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Receiving and believing is the Father's requirement for us to be adopted into his family. And when we are adopted into his family, he is our heavenly Father, and we become his sons and his daughters. And when you are an adopted child of God, you have the full rights and the full privileges of a son or a daughter of God. You have the full rights and the full privileges that Jesus has. Now think about that. You can't earn it. You can't deserve it. You can't live up to it. It's his grace. He has given you the full rights of being a son or a daughter of God. All the resources of heaven are at your disposal if we simply learn to receive. In Luke chapter 15, it's the story of some lost things, the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. And we focus a lot on the prodigal son, the one who squandered all of his father's inheritance on wild living and came back in repentance and says, I don't even deserve to be called your son. I'll be your servant. And his father does this amazing thing. It's intended to show us the father heart of God, that he receives him back. He doesn't say, now you got to make this up. You got to do this. You got to come groveling. You got to do all these. He just receives him back. He puts a ring on his finger and the robe on his back. And he throws a big party and he kills the fattened calf. Talk about radical grace. But then there's the other son. There's the son who has always been with his father. And he gets ticked off because his deadbeat brother, who went and messed everything up, gets welcomed back and gets all of this? This isn't fair. And he comes to his father. And as he comes to his father with his complaints, the father says, "My son, you're always with me, and everything I have is yours. My son, you're always with me. You didn't recognize this, but everything that I have has always been yours." This is what it means to be a child of God. We receive by believing, and when we do, we have the full rights of a son or a daughter. And everything the Father has is ours. I ask myself and I ask you, do we live like everything the Father has is ours already? Or do we try to earn it, live up to it, get his favor for it? He says it's already ours. Everything I have is yours. This is none of our doing, because we are not like a child born of natural descent by a human decision or a husband's will, but we are born supernaturally of God. This is a work of God that we cannot do. It is all his grace. We simply receive it. Receive, believe, become his child. See, the work of God is to believe, which is how we receive. And what we receive is the full rights of a son or a daughter of God. And when you already have it, you don't need to earn it. You don't need to do. We need to learn to receive what we already have been given. And it's all by his grace. And next week, so we want to talk about how we do this, what this looks like to learn to receive more, to receive this. And I close with this story. A number of years ago at our district conference, which is every fall, our churches of our district, pastors of our district get together for a couple days. And at this district conference, it was on a focus of just learning to live more in the work of the Holy Spirit. And after one particular meeting, the person who was there speaking had everybody stand up, and he had been talking about just receiving from God. And as we closed, he encouraged everyone to stand up. And so there's about 300 pastors and different leaders in this room. And he said, just come and stand up and just say, "Lord, what do you want to do in our midst? We're here to receive from you. What do you want to do in our midst? And just let's wait on the Lord together." And so at that point in my journey with the Lord, I had had some changing of my view of just how you receive from the Lord and what the work of the Spirit was in my life. And God was doing some really, really good things. And so at that point, what I had envisioned of how you receive from the Lord was I'd put my hands up. "Lord, whatever you want to do, you do it." And as we're in this place of just waiting on God, asking him to do whatever he wants to do, I got my hands up. And it was as if someone grabbed my wrists, not in a mean way, but in a firm way, grabbed my wrists, lowered my hands, and turned them down and palms up. To the point where I could not move my hands. And actually, for about the next half hour, my hands were stuck right there. There was a weight on my hands that even if I wanted to, I could not have moved my hands in any other way. And as I'm in that place, the Lord clearly spoke to me, "It's not about what you do. Stop reaching for me. Stop trying to get to me. Learn to receive from me. I will come to you." And that radically shifted the way I viewed even worship. It's not about me trying to get to God. Lord, I praise you. I'm going to come to you. There are times when I'll raise my hands like this. But the majority of the time, the posture that the Lord has impressed upon me for myself so deeply in that moment was, Lord, I'm just coming to you. I don't have anything that I can really give to you, or I'm not going to do something so wonderful that you're going to be like, yay, Mark, now you finally are in a place where I can use you or do something with you. Yes, way to go, buddy. It's no, Lord, I just offer what I have, and what I have really is nothing. And I just seek to receive. That's what Jesus said even as he sent out the 72, which we'll talk about at some point. Freely you have received, now freely give. Not go give and go do and go serve. And go. If we have not received, we have nothing to give. Freely you have received, now freely give. So at the beginning of this, I just think our prayer, I think the Lord's prayer that he's inviting us to pray is just a simple but yet radical prayer of, Lord, teach me to learn to receive from you. Because I think to some degree, I don't think I'm alone. I think to some degree we all have this, I got to do something. Lord, first, teach me to learn to receive. And so as we pray, you may want to use that posture. There's nothing magical about it. Or you may have another posture. But I just want to give you a moment, and then I'm going to pray for us. And then the worship team will come and lead us in a closing song. But will we just say, Lord, in these next weeks, would you teach me to learn to receive? So let's go to prayer. Father, hear our hearts cry. Father, it's all your grace. We love because you first loved us. We give because you have first given to us. We serve because you have, in the person of Jesus, come to serve us first. We sacrifice because, Jesus, you have given your life as the perfect sacrifice. Everything we do is not because we are able to get to you and earn your favor and approval. It's because you have come to us first. You have come to us in grace. When our eyes were not opened, when we did not recognize you, you came to us and you opened our eyes. And so, Father, would you help us in these days, weeks to come? Would you teach us how to receive? Maybe may we be ones who learn to receive from you. For you have made us your children, your deeply loved children with all the resources of heaven. We don't need anything more. Would you help us to learn to receive it so we might live more and more as the children you've already made us to be? Teach us to receive. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Like thine.
Response to his invitation, we say, I need you, I need you. Receive and believe. Become the children of God. If you're wondering how do you start that relationship, I would love to talk to you. If you're watching and you don't know, I would love just to have a conversation. Feel free to reach out to the church. I would love to talk with you about that. Or after the service today, I'd love to talk with you. But for all of us, may the Lord teach us to receive. We need him, and he is everything that we need. The full resources of heaven, if you're a child of his, are yours. There's nothing we need that he doesn't already have. May the Lord teach you to learn to receive. He's a good father. Go in his peace. Thank you.